Welcome back to the Black Is 15-Minute Break with yours truly, KC Layman. We have another absolutely black and gorgeous roundtable jumping off tonight. My guests tonight are...
Stacey Brewer.
Tiffany Lanois.
Raina Lott.
Nikita Critchlow.
Joy Mae Harris.
Jamila Ishe.
Toria Williams.
Sister T.
And tonight's topic is death to Jigaboo versus wannabe, while we have to live by our own beauty standard. And the reason why this topic is on the table, I had a long, hard thought being a very, very LA girl about my reasons for going natural. Because there are a lot of, I see a lot of infighting between us in regards to natural hair versus, I don't even want to call it unnatural hair, straight hair. And when I thought about my reason for going natural, it had nothing to do with reaching a higher level of consciousness. It had everything to do with economics. I was in college and I was broke. I was taking West African dance 3 times a week and I could not keep up my very permed, pressed hairstyle with that schedule. And I met sisters from the Bay Area because at that time, we're talking mid-90s, there were not a lot of natural hairstyles around Los Angeles outside of braids. And I'm like cornrows, individuals, extensions. And I saw a sister with a 2-strand twist and it blew my mind. I thought it was the most gorgeous thing I'd ever seen in the world. I wanted to know how she did it. She explained it to me. She did my hair. And eventually, you know, because your hair gets trained when it's been straightened for a while. My hair wasn't twisting like it needed to twist. I cut it all off, started from scratch. And I've been natural up to this point 12 years. Now, with that, will I always be natural? Who knows? I mean, change is. And what I do love about my hair in its natural state is I do get an opportunity to try a variety of hairstyles. But who knows? I can't really call it. I might press my hair again and have absolutely no problem with it because that is the beauty of black hair. We can do those things. And I think why I call this death to Jigaboo versus wannabe, I think it's important that we just focus, one, when it comes to our hair, on maintaining good hair and scalp health so that we don't have 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old girls wearing full head weaves. If they knew how to grow their own hair healthily, there would be no need for that. That's one. Two, it doesn't do anything to feel like we have to defend our choices. This is just our hair. And we are the only people who I can think of who are fortunate enough to be able to wear it in such a variety of styles. And I think it's something that we just have to appreciate, respect, and not feel like we have to apologize for it. So that is my perspective.
This is, you know, as a black woman who has, you know, been around the world and back of my hair, as many black women that I know have been, it is a subject that is near and dear to my heart simply because, like you said, I mean, there really is no one else who, you know, experiences the things that we do with our hair. I started growing my hair natural when I was a senior in high school, and I still consider it natural, even though I wear it straight now because I don't have a perm. So, and I've worn, you know, quote unquote, natural styles for 8 years, I would say, before I started straightening it again. And what's the most interesting to me is how people perceive me based on what my hair is looking like.
Very true.
More so that, like, I'm still me. I'm always going to be me. It doesn't matter if I have cornrows or 2-strand twists or if I've taken my cornrows out and I'm rocking a fro. Like, I'm Jamila. Or if my hair is straight, like it is right now. I'm still me. But everybody, you know, you get different different perceptions, different interactions, different people that want to, you know, people calling you sister, you know, because your hair is natural. And it's like, really? Really, dude? But, yeah. So, I mean, I
black
cut.
Power fist.
Right. Like, please, back up. Really. And I don't feel any less black, you know, because my hair is straight. So, and I'm not ashamed of any style that I've worn. I mean, I would say at this point, simply because I started straightening my hair more than I had intended, I was really, honestly, it's easier for me to straighten my hair is the thing. So, you know, it would take me hours to blow dry. And I always did my own hair. I didn't actually go to get my hair done. So I'm doing a deep condition. I'm rinsing it out. I'm combing it out. I'm blow drying it. I'm twisting it. And then, and that would take the full day. It's like, what are you doing today? I'm doing my hair. literally all day, a solid 8 hours. I have videos to watch. I'll be sitting in front of the TV, twisting my hair. I have my shit, my buttercream, you know, Miss Jessie's. And so I can straighten my hair. I can wash, blow dry, and flat iron my hair in about 2 hours myself. So that is why I started doing it. And then when I was like, oh, I'm tired of flat ironing, I want to twist my hair again, I couldn't because it was trained. So now it's like, well, do I want to cut all my hair off again? I could show you pictures that would simply chronicle, you know, the life of my hair and the relationship that I have had with it. And I always wanted to lock it. But I think that our hair is beautiful, you know, in what it is absolutely capable of. And I've not been ashamed of my hair in any of its various states. I might be a little bit ashamed of some of the colors that I chose when I was dyeing my hair. Yeah, I think what's more interesting within that conversation is how we interact with each other. That is problematic, interesting, whatever, you know, but my hair is healthy. And I think that is the most important thing.
Yeah, something really. You said too stuck out to me, the idea that your hair, when it's straight, does not make you less black. And in the same vein, when your hair is natural, it does not make you more black. There are some very locked up, nappy headed, unconscious black people out there.
Know it.
Right.
Know that.
Right. And so it's not a statement of who you are as a person. It's just really a choice of how you like to wear your hair. That's really all it says about you. I think for some people, because I think about this in regards to my relationship with my hair and the decision. If I make the decision to lock, that might be something that I go on a spiritual journey because of the process of locking and because it is something that was once upon a time seemingly permanent. And I know a lot of people make those choices if they choose to, like, they think very long and hard about what this is going to mean in regards to what their hair will do in the variety of styles. It's just a choice. I feel like we all just have to be proud of having healthy hair, no matter the length. And the variety of, just look at this table and the variety of looks that are represented here, you know, and I see so many little girls that I wish they could see all of us now and look at all the variety of beauty that is there for them and not feel like they are slave to have all this hair that don't belong to them because that's what is beautiful. The beauty standard in this country has never been for us. It never will be for us. And we just have to live by our own.
So, as the resident stylist at this table, this is a discussion that I have on a regular basis. Folks come to me in interesting states, and just small digression, I think it's really interesting that people do not consider the permanence of a relaxer the way they do the permanence of locks. Mm. Nobody ever says, I gotta be in a spiritual place to put this sodium hydroxide on my scalp. Like, it's never that.
And I'm willing to bet you too, a lot of those people, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. No. I'm willing to bet, because I know for me, it wasn't solely my choice. It was my mama and my hairdresser, because I was, exactly, yeah. 6 or 7, is like, baby, we just going to do this because it's going to make your hair a little bit more manageable.
I remember the day I begged for a relaxer. It was,
and I'm not mad at you, mommy. I'm not mad.
Right. No, because I'm mad at my mama. It was the day she burned my ear with a hot comb. I was like, that's it. I need a perm. This is too much. You don't have it under control. But you know, I don't know, 4 years later, I put extensions in my hair for the first time. So I've been doing natural hair since I was 11, and I'm 28 now. I'd say I'm at a space, and I do natural hair. Like, I'd never say I'd never put a perm in my hair. Only because the reality is, we are all these, like, biological beings, and these machines carry around our souls. And the goal of that experience is to try to find the thing that feels organic to us. So right now, if I need to have my hair slicked down and I want a tight finish and I want spikes at the top of my head and my soul needs that to convey whatever message it needs to convey, mission accomplished. And that's why when I did business on the East Coast, I functioned under organic roots, because it was whatever was organic to you. So I would never beat up on sisters with relaxers who came in who wanted braids, because that wasn't the point. The point is, do you look good with what's going on? Is it healthy? Can you maintain it? Is it moving towards your greatest good? And really, do you feel like a whole person in that process? Mm-hmm. And I think my problem now that I have with folks who do anything that's external from the place that they from where they came, like however way you came out your mama, if you've altered that in any state, if you feel like you can't leave your house outside of that state, that's a problem. If you can't leave your hair without leave your house without a full weave, you can't leave your house unless your double strands are tight, you can't leave the house unless your edges are crisp, that's a problem. Because that means that you don't think you're a whole person. When you talk about levels of intimacy, like we have a lot of sisters who don't like men to touch their hair. That's a big level of intimacy for you to grab my head while, whenever, however, whenever. You know what I mean? It's a beautiful thing. And a lot of sisters don't get to experience that because yes. It's like, oh, my tracks are fresh. Be easy. So there's sisters who come from white collar world. Like, you know, my coworkers won't understand. And so my initial response is like, when are you going to stop living for other people? Like, it still comes back to like cultivating the person that you want to be at all times. And if at all times you want to be comfortable in your skin, then like right now, not yesterday and not 2 seconds ahead, you need to do that. That's where the hair discussion sits with me, is your personal comfort.
And we do have to think about our interaction with brothers, because if we're really real, we are doing the things that we do because they make us feel beautiful.
Yes.
But we are interested in attracting people. So we do what we think other people will find attractive as well. And there are brothers who they're just as brainwashed as we are. Mm-hmm. So a certain look for them is what works. And anything off the beaten cuff of that is not within their comfort level. And that's just them. You know, you can't ask a brother to not be who he is. For instance, I have a brother who I work with, who shall remain nameless. And we had the conversation about natural hair versus straight hair. And he was very honest with me. When my hair is styled, he loves it. If I come at him big Shaka Khan, even though he can be like doing your Shaka Khan, it wouldn't be for him. You know, and that's fine in terms of how we react to one another, too. I see that with me. There are some men, when my hair is like this, and I'm not even going to front, when my hair is big, I get more outside attention. The white men, the Asian men, Hispanic men love me all the time. Right. But white men, Asian men, they're all into it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? All into it.
I think it's because, like, you know, it there's some authenticity behind it. Like, I know those tracks aren't yours. I know that straight hair is not yours. And there's no other ethnic group, minus a few Jewish sisters who feel like, you know, I got a straight in my situation. Yeah. Who feel like they can't go outside with the hair that grew out of their heads. Like, come on now. I can't. I
am like the poster child for personal comfort, because I can remember, and I've told this story to Kim, I can remember the day that I told my friend to shave my head. I was studying for finals and I was stressed and I didn't want to wake up the next morning and look in the mirror and have to work this hair. I knew I would be in tears. So to just relieve it was like in a personal epiphany right then. I said, go to the car and get your clippers and take care of this. He didn't want to do it. He thought, okay, you're stressed. You're tripping. I said, no, either you do it or I'm going to get somebody else to do it. So it was like we had a study group in my apartment. And they were like, she's really going to do this. So they all sat. He cut it. And everybody was like, oh, my God, it is so beautiful. I've been wearing my hair like this ever since then. I've done that. I use buttercream, Miss Jessie's. I use curly pudding. It just depends on how I feel during the summer. But for the most part, this is me. This has been me. I've stopped people on the street. People have stopped me, men, women. Yes. You know, it's something about, you know, the shape of my head. I don't know what it is, but, you know, this is me. You know, someone said Nefertiti, the whole nine. But this is me. I don't have a problem with how anyone else wears their hair. All I know is what I have to do for me. My husband, when I do try to grow my hair, wants me to do this. You know, that's who I would want to please, period. But I really just do this for me. I came back into his life looking like this, and he was like, wow. You know, because I had the, you know, salt and pepper, asymmetrical, you know, right. Doo-wop going on at one point. I've had all kind of styles. Just look on my Facebook page.
But it definitely comes from within, because the other day, I was at the county clerk's office, and this woman had a short hairdo, and I was like, your hair is beautiful, Filipino woman. And she started smiling. She was like, I just got through with chemo. She said, I just got through with chemo. She said, but I'm rocking this dude, and people don't see Asian girls bald-headed. And I was just like, that's it. You know, that's your hairdo. When you feel you're rocking it and it's making you beautiful, and she said, I get more compliments than anything. And the hair was just growing back. And I was like, that's it. You know, because God put her in a position to go bald-headed. Mm-hmm. But she came out of it like, I'm rocking it. That's when you look good. She looked so good. I felt like, wait a minute, what would I look like? And I am the pressing queen. It definitely comes from your own confidence, and it comes from within, because we all at this table are rocking different looks, you know, but everyone's confidence is sustaining the look that they're rocking.
I think for me, like, I don't look at it from just an individual perspective. I mean, I was raised like most little black girls with a perm before I could even ask or know what I was getting, you know, but I remember going to college and reading the autobiography of Assata Shakur, you know, and her talking about her journey with her hair and deciding to wear it natural. And I remember deciding to wear it natural before I knew what to do with it. So I just wore like an Afro puff, you know, for like months before I even knew what to do with it. But I mean, if we look at it on like a black woman perspective, like from that perspective, not just as an individual perspective, you know, most black women wear their hair in its non-natural state. And I don't know that there's another population of women that do it to the same degree that we do. And whenever there's a pattern like that, there's something else to it. It can't just be everybody's just coincidentally making the same decision. And I do think that a white standard of beauty has been forced upon us since our arrival here in America. And it's been a long history of it. And it's still here today. Definitely wearing your hair natural is more acceptable today. It's trendy today. They even got nappy fake hair.
Yes.
Right? They got nappy fake hair now that you can get. Right. I'm sure you see it all the time. But, you know, I think that the fact that most black women don't wear their hair in their natural state, I think it personally is a remnant of this cultural colonization, where not only were we colonized and all our power was taken from us, but also everything about you is ugly and we're beautiful. So you need to worship our God that looks like us. Jesus is in the image of God, and he's got blonde hair and blue eyes, and we're beautiful. Everything about you is ugly, right? So I think there's that whole history. I'm not saying every individual black woman, that's their motivation for it, but I think when it's a pattern like that, that even in 2011, most black women are not wearing their hair natural, I think there's something to that.
And I think this is a perfect place for us to put a pause and come back for the part two. Check back in for the next 15-minute break, please. Tomorrow, but right now, I gotta go. If you want.